Welcome to Assets and Aging, Affording the Future, the live local show that's all about the issues of aging. Don't forget all the stuff I've got to say. I'm not an attorney, I don't practice law, I don't give legal advice. If you want legal advice, you should consult with an attorney, preferably one that knows what they're talking about. I have a California insurance license. I have to tell you that doesn't have anything to do with anything, but I have to tell you that. I'm not securities licensed. It's interesting, I have to tell you, I'm not securities licensed, so I can't give you any stocks and bonds advice. I can personally, but I can't here. What else? I'm a notary. I'm a legal document assistant. I am licensed to prepare legal documents at your direction and request. Right here in Sacramento County is where my bond and license are filed, and I can do it anywhere in the state of California. I've been doing this show for what I do for a long time, and I've been doing the 21 years, and I've been doing what I do for 35 years, and I'm unbelievably sad. And I find myself being more sad all the time for what is happening to seniors and the elderly in this country. We care less about our aging population than any Western civilized country on the face of the planet. We literally don't care. And I'm going to really go out on a limb today, and I'm going to talk about stuff. I try to talk about actual cases, but sometimes I have to be really careful. First of all, people don't believe that this is really happening. If you don't believe, 40 to 50% of all the deaths in America have happened to people in care homes, folks. So of 100 and some thousand people, 40 to 50,000 of them died in care homes. 40 to 50,000 of them were seniors who didn't have to die in care homes. 40 to 50,000 of them were people who were put there intentionally to die by governors of states. If you don't really get this yet, you're just not paying attention. And so I'm a little bit angry, but I'm mainly sad because I feel like I'm a voice in the wilderness crying out for some sanity. I heard from an elder law attorney this week who has a client who fell and shattered after, by the way, they wandered away from the house. Let's put this in context. They wandered away from the house. Nobody could find them. They did a search. They found this person. I don't even remember the sex, male or female. I just don't remember. They found him in a ditch and had shattered their shoulder in five places. Count them, five places. They went to the hospital. I'm not going to tell you which hospital. Because it doesn't matter, because this happens in every hospital. The hospital won't send the person to a nursing home for rehab because they don't need rehab. Now, if you're an elderly person who wandered away from home, who found in a ditch, who shattered their shoulder in five places, wouldn't you think they'd need some rehab? Well, they can walk 100 feet is what the hospital told the family. They can walk 100. Well, what? With three bodyguards holding them up? You got a you're an elderly person who wanders away. You shatter and the test is you can walk 100 feet. I'd like to say this is an isolated situation, but it's not. I get phone calls every week. Every week. I have a nursing home here in town in which the person on rehab, we're getting them on Medi-Cal, and they have to go back to the hospital, and the nursing home wants $350 a day to hold their bed. $350 a day. So if they're gone 5 days, they're going to pay $2,000. The family's going to pay just to hold a bed that they're going to get paid for again anyhow down the road. It just never stops. I can't tell you the number of clients that have been dumped out of hospitals, dumped into nursing homes, then dumped back home because, you know, they can't make any money. I don't know, at $400, $500 a day, how much money do you need to make? How many of you that are out of work listening to this show would like to be getting paid $400 a day to feed somebody 3 days meals a day that costs you a total of $8? Do you know what it costs to feed somebody in assisted living or a nursing home? You would be stunned if I told you. You wouldn't believe me. you literally would not believe me. You can't eat as cheaply as McDonald's, by the way. So, I mean, the attorney I was dealing with the other day was talking to me about what this the other day said the following, and I have to clean up some of the language because this was adult language between friends. There, he said, the battle starts with the HMOs because everything's going to an HMO. My doctor just retired, is going to retire. He's retiring because he refuses to work for an HMO. He actually wants to help patients and cure patients and make patients better. So the best doctor in Northern California, because he actually cares about his patients, has to retire because he has to take 24-hour day call, can't admit his own patients, can't do any of that kind of stuff because he won't join an HMO because he actually wants to deal with his patients. If you think medicine is better because of the ACA, you're just not paying attention, folks. And it's really not better for seniors. Seniors have been forced into HMOs where they can't see their doctor. They can't get help. I started doing this 35 years ago when we had the best medical care system in the world. We were the envy of the world. People sent their students here to learn what we did. In the process, we became them. We in some cases, we're worse than them. So the battle starts with going to the HMO. Everything goes to the emergency room. You don't have a doctor in the emergency. You got an emergency room doc, but he doesn't know anything about you. He doesn't know about your medical history. He doesn't know anything about you. And then the emergency room very rarely admits you to the hospital anymore. They send you home with a bottle of pills and a splint on your arm or whatever it is. Or they send you to a nursing home where you're rehabbed for 4 days by... Oh, I have to be really careful what I say here. Because it just makes me really sad. I have spent my life, most of my adult life, in assisted living and nursing homes. And I've watched them go from wonderful places to pits. And that transition has happened because of the reimbursement system in the United States for who pays. Understand, doctors and hospitals aren't in charge. The insurance companies are. The HMOs are. They're in charge of who gets treated and who gets paid and what doctor you get and all of that kind of stuff. And it's extremely damaging to the elderly. They get cursory care, and then they're shipped off, to the hospital, which are tyrants. That you don't actually get to a doctor there that knows anything about you. You get to the ER doctor, then you get to a hospitalist who doesn't know anything about you. He doesn't know your medical history. He doesn't know what your last lab said, because in this country, we no longer allow the primary care physician even into the room. They have no place in the healthcare system anymore. There is no more place for primary care physicians. They have no place to go unless they join a group. I know a cardiologist in town who was forced to join a group. Otherwise, the group wouldn't let him use the cath lab to practice. And I'm making this up, folks. It starts with the hospitals, and then it winds up with rehab and how nursing homes have really become rehab. People used to get well in hospitals. They don't get well in hospitals anymore. You don't get well in a hospital. You're sent to rehab, and you don't get well in the hospital. In the rehab, you're sent home, and you're still sick, and they tell your 80-year-old wife to take care of you. Or the 70-year-old husband. or the other spouse has dementia, so they tell the kid to quit his job and go take care of dad. And Medi-Cal is the worst thing that ever happened to seniors because they have destroyed an otherwise good program that tried to take care of people with a program that nobody wants. Some big hospital, I just saw it this morning on the news and I don't remember where it was, some big hospital HMO system has stopped sending patients to another big, I can't name names here, and all their Medi-Cal patients now have no more primary care physicians. So how do you get into the hospital? You get into the hospital now, not via your doctor saying you need to go to the hospital, but via ambulance. The primary medical care now happens in an ambulance. And I know there are people out here who will disagree with me, but I'm telling you, folks, I've been doing this for a long time. And the fact that you're not prepared for this, it will not inure to your benefit. You're going to become a victim of a system because you don't know how this system operates. Write this down. Write it down. On the 9th of June, it's a Tuesday, it's 6 o'clock, I'm going to be doing a webinar. It's going to be live. You'll be able to see my smiling face, and you should be there. You're not smart if you're not there. Because nobody else is going to tell you this stuff. Everybody's going to tell you how to save the stock market and how to save your stocks and bonds and how to get more on your CDs and all that baloney, which at the end of the day is useless because it's going to be what it's going to be. But your health care is another issue. And long-term care and nursing homes are now and rehab are now a part of the American healthcare system. They're all full. Nursing homes are all full. Why is that? They didn't used to be full, and they become death traps. Why is that? Do you know how many people I have that are sent from hospitals to nursing homes, and they're still sick? They didn't get the care they needed in the hospital because the hospital doesn't want them because it's not getting paid by Medicare, and there's penalties under the Affordable Care Act. Then blah, 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 and there's a whole big system and admission versus observation and who's going to pay and Medicare and Medi-Cal and your HMO and you're on a Senior Care Advantage, which is a different thing, and nobody understands it. We are the only Western country in the world to put seniors through this. Like Pogo said, we've seen the enemy and he's us. People talk, either like me or don't like me. I have a phrase for you, and listen to the phrase. Better to know me and never need me than to need me and not know me. Nobody needs me until they need me. Nobody comes in prophylactically. Nobody comes in advance and says, look, we know this could happen, so we want to be prepared for it. They wait until the crisis. I started to say something about hitting the fan. They wait for the crisis, and then they hope it's all going to work out. And the whole family is upset by why didn't it work out. I had somebody in my office the other day. Wife died. Dad lived. Dad does trust. Dad names himself, names one of the children. There's three children. What names one of the children as the trustee of the trust. All along the way, done by somebody that I can't, it's one of the worst sets of documents I've ever seen. The alternate, dad lives, the alternate trustee dies, one of the children. A second child dies. Nobody ever read, the only child standing has no authority. Because the trust was drawn in such a way that the sole surviving child has no authority. And half the assets are not even in the trust. Nobody, the attorney involved, nobody ever revisited any of this after stuff happened. How many of you are still sitting with documents that are 6, 8, 10, 12 years old, and you still think they're okay? Better to know me and never need me than to need me and not know me. How many people have lost everything to nursing home cares? How many people do I get phone calls from every week who've said, you know, I'm in the hospital and they've told me I have to do, no, you don't have to do that. I'm in the nursing home, they've told me I have to do this. No, you don't have to do that. One of the things my clients get out of me is a phone call. They can always call me and ask me questions because they know me. Even if they don't need me, they can call and ask a question. Better to know me and never need me than to need me and not know me. So you can go to my website, Assets and Aging, and you can get to know me, assetsandaging.com. And when you go there, there'll be a link to my webinar on the 9th. That's 2 days away. Today's Sunday. Monday is tomorrow. And then Tuesday at 6 o'clock is my webinar. Gather the family around. Make sure that you understand, because this is not going to get better, boys and girls. This crisis is not going to get better. It's really not. What if you don't have children? What if you never had children and your spouse died and you're there all alone? Who's going to take care of you? Well, Bob, it's just all going to work out. Oh, good. I'm glad it's all going to work out. I hope that works out for you, that it's all going to work out. So I'm really sad. I know it sounds like I'm angry, but I'm not angry. I'm resolute. And I've given up trying to be angry because nobody else seems to care about this stuff. You know, everybody's watching the stock market. The stock market is irrelevant. You have no control over the stock market. The average investor, let's get this through your heads right now. The average investor has no control, zero control, not a control over the stock market. I know somebody that has a PhD in math or statistics or something, and he works in New York, and he works for a big hedge fund. And you know all he does all day long is he runs AI stuff. And he does speed trading, the trading that happens in nanoseconds. You have no control over that. The fund that he works for does that and pays him a lot and a lot and a lot of money and another money to make sure that they control the market and you don't. This, you can have some control over your life by saying, I'm going to get older. I'm going to become more frail. I'm going to enter a system that I know nothing about. In the second half hour, I'm going to tell you about an article in the Wall Street Journal that blames seniors for all of this. I'm not making this up. I'm going to tell you about it, and I'm going to tell you about some other stuff, and I'm going to tell you. I could not believe this. I shared this with some people who are wise, and they all went, yeah, we're not surprised that these people did this. Understand there's an entire industry out there that does not want you to know what I talk about. They do not want you to know that Medi-Cal exists. They do not know they do not want you to know that did you know that a nonprofit is responsible, almost solely responsible, for destroying the VA benefit known as aid in attendance in this country? I'll bet you didn't know that. I'll bet you didn't know that. A nonprofit that supposedly helps seniors. I'm not making this stuff up, folks. Do you know that there are nonprofits out there that their only goal in life is to make sure you can't get government benefits if you need long-term care? Because there's an industry out there that wants to control, wants you to buy their product. We're going to talk about that in the second half hour. And I'm sad that I don't see this stuff anywhere else. Nobody else talks about it. Nobody else talks about it on the radio. Nobody else talks about it on TV. When you see people interviewed on TV, they're people who don't know anything about this, have never been in nursing homes. I haven't gotten any calls from radio stations or TV stations saying, why do you think so many people died in nursing homes? Well, I told you in February that people were going to die in nursing homes when this started. Nobody believed me. Well, how do you feel about that now? We now live in a world and in a country where seniors are second thoughts. The ACA was designed to provide health care to low-income and middle-aged or younger people who had no insurance. Remember, seniors were never included in the count of people that had no insurance. Why? Because you had Medicare. So you had insurance. You were rich. You had coverage. You had. The ACA was designed to take money away from what seniors had and move it to another cohort of the population under Medi-Cal, so that, what do you think would happen if we had universal Medicare in the United States? What do you think would happen to the benefits for seniors? Especially given the fact that something like a third to half of all Medicare, all medical expense, comes in the last 2 years of life. If somebody's trying to save money, so if they died a little sooner or they didn't get quite as good a care, would it matter? It would matter to me, but that's where our mindset is. If you don't believe that, just look around to what's happening. You don't have to believe me. Just look around. Look who got somewhere. Where's my article? Hang on. I got to find my article. Where's my article? The world sacrificed its elderly in the race to protect hospitals. The result was a catastrophe. I talked to a doctor the other day, a doctor who works in a hospital, a surgeon. And I said, how many COVID patients did you have in your hospital? And he said, well, at the maximum time, we had 8. How many do you have now? None. That's a local hospital. And this was true all over the country, except in a couple places like New York, which is one of the maybe worst run states in the United States. Now, how do you think that happened? So here's another article. Because under the governor's new budget, because they put all these people on Medi-Cal, we have to cut the budget. And it's, why do we always get hit first? Proposed budget cuts target vulnerable Californians. That's all about seniors who are going to get hammered. Might as well have them walk the plank. Cuts may force many seniors into nursing homes. And nursing homes are what? Petri dishes for COVID. Oh, that's smart. If you want to make sure that you're able to manage this as this happens in your life, then call me. Go to my website, assetsandaging.com. Call me at 800-999-8007. Sign up for my webinar this coming Tuesday, the 9th, at 6 o'clock. It'll be about a 45-minute webinar. You'll get to ask questions. You'll get to hear stuff. I'm going to talk about this. We're going to talk about why the long-term care is primarily a women's issue. Nobody talks about that. I've talked about it before. 80% of all the people in care homes are women. 80% of all caregivers are women. At age 80, 70% of women are looking across the table at an empty chair because their spouse died. 30% of men are looking across the table at age 80 looking at their wife, who's going to be their caregiver. It's a women's issue. And women need more than anybody else to understand this. Most caregivers are women, daughters, granddaughters. You need to understand the system and the world in which we now live. If you don't, you're going to get caught up in it and you're going to be ground up by a machine that's no longer first goal is to care for you. Its first goal is to maximize corporate profits. Most nursing homes when I started this were privately owned. Now they're all owned by big giant chains, some of which are traded publicly on the stock market. 800-999-8007. 800-999-8007. 800-999-8007. 888-999-8007 or go to my website, Assets, A-S-S-E-T-S, and Aging, AGING.com, assetsandaging.com, and sign up for my webinar this coming Tuesday at 6 o'clock. It's free. It'll last about 45 minutes. You'll love it. 800-999-8007, assetsandaging.com. When I come back, I'm going to talk about an editorial in the Wall Street Journal last week that blames all of this on seniors. I'm not making this up. Don't go away. We're going to take a little break so they can give you the weather and the traffic and the news. And I'll be back here in just a second on Assets and Aging, Affording the Future. Don't go away. Welcome back to Assets and Aging. Let me start with this disclaimer. I'm going to talk about something that's highly controversial, and I want you to know in advance that everything I'm going to talk about is my opinion only. And it's just my opinion. I'm not saying what I'm going to tell you is right or wrong. I'm going to lay the information that I have in front of you, and you determine whether it's right or wrong. It's just my opinion. You go read the article. It's actually an opinion piece in Wall Street Journal, and you make up your own mind. In the Wall Street Journal on June the 1st, there was an opinion piece entitled Nursing Homes, Coronavirus, and Medicaid. Medicaid and Medi-Cal are the same thing. We just call it Medi-Cal here. It was written by two people, Stephen Moses, who has an outfit in Washington, and it's called, I forget what it's called, the Center for Long-Term Care Reform. His name is Stephen Moses. He's been around a long time. You can go there and you can see who funds him. He used to be a nonprofit. He's not a nonprofit anymore. He doesn't like me. I once called him once talking to him, and when he found out what I did, he hung up. Said I was a crook, and he hung up. I'm looking at reports done by an organization called CRU, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington, and letters that they wrote to Congress about the Centers for Long-Term Care. The other author is Brian C. Blaze. Mr. Blaze is a ex-bureaucrat. Both of these people are ex-bureaucrats in Washington, and lobbyists and that kind of stuff. And you have to go to their organizations to figure out who supports them and whether or not this is an unbiased article. And you should do that before you read it. In fact, here's an email in several years ago from the Center for Long-Term Care Reform that was doing a tour around the United States. And this is their donor. So if you wanted to be a platinum level donor, you gave $25,000 to them, and then you'd get a full color logo and all that. And then you'd get a corporate membership and training for all your employees and agents. This was really aimed at people in the long-term care insurance business. Then for less money, you got less access, but all of it is geared toward bronze sponsorship and continuing level and all that kind of stuff. But all of it is geared at the long-term care insurance companies and big long-term care agencies. If you go to the newsletter, you will see that as a regular piece of advice. If you read the CRU reports, you will see that as a regular piece of advice. My point is, the authors of this are not unbiased. In my opinion, just my opinion, you all know what I do. Let me start out by reading this because I think it's important. A national tragedy began in March when COVID 19 killed 35 residents of the Life Care Center in Kirkland, Washington. Since then, more than 22,000 nursing home residents have died in Connecticut, Massachusetts, New Jersey, New York, and Pennsylvania. That's five states, all run by Democratic governors, 22,000 people, nearly half of all Americans who have fallen victim to the coronavirus lived in nursing homes, which is what I said, right? It's not news. Politicians have made plenty of mistakes. Governors in several states, including New York and Pennsylvania, ordered nursing homes to take coronavirus patients discharged from hospitals and reversed the orders only after weeks of casualties. Why do so many elderly people live in low-quality nursing homes? They're not low-quality, folks. I know a lot of nursing homes that do a really good job. There's already a bias in this, in my opinion. If you tag all nursing homes as low quality, all assisted livings as low quality, almost no one wants to end up in a nursing home. That's true, because if we end up in a nursing home, why? We're really sick. We're not healthy driving to the grocery store. We're really sick. Nursing homes are filled with sick people. And most families prefer not to place their loved ones in one. The main answer is the legacy of Medicaid, a Great Society program intended to help the poor. Great Society means Lyndon Johnson, because Medicaid was created in 1965 by Lyndon Johnson and by Congress. Medicaid is commonly viewed as a welfare program. Not by me. It's an entitlement program. It is not a welfare program. Do you see the bias already in this article? And this makes me sad, because people are going to read this and think that this is all, you know, never mind. But almost anyone can qualify for long-term care financed by Medicaid. That's not true. Lots of people can. Not everyone. It depends on what state you live in. In some states, it's very hard to get on Medi-Cal or Medicaid because they're called income-first states. By making nursing home care nearly free for middle-income and even affluent Americans, Medicaid created a bias. Naturally, public spending has exploded. That's not true. It's simply not true. It's his opinion, but I'm entitled to my opinion. Remember, this is an organization, the Center for Long-Term Care Reform, that is primarily funded and works to help the long-term care industry. If you don't believe me, go to their website and look around and find out who, just read it. It's all about increasing the sale of long-term care insurance. The problem with long-term care insurance is companies have gone out of business. People paid for policies for years. The PERS long-term care policy has had 4 or 5 premium increases in the last 10 years. Companies have had to raise their rates. You can't get long-term care insurance. It's almost impossible. California is down to just a few companies, when at one time there were 100 companies because of state regulations. Care for 62% of nursing home residents is paid for in part by Medicaid. And remember, every time it says Medicaid, that means Medi-Cal in California, according to data from the Kaiser Family Foundation. Kaiser is who? An HMO. Not picking and saying it's good or bad, just saying it's an HMO. Policymakers sought to control costs and limit access by paying notoriously low rates. This dragged down the quality of care. You know, Medi-Cal pays nursing homes $450 a day. How many of you stayed in a hotel room for $450 a day? If you get a $450 hotel room, it's pretty good. I'm telling you right now, the rooms in nursing homes are not as good as a $450, and I can tell you what it costs to pay for food. Care is, you know, go look at the pivot list sometimes on how much the owners of nursing homes are making. They drag down the quality of care for Medicaid because Medicaid is so easy to obtain, but it's not easy to obtain, folks. I've been doing Medi-Cal cases for 30 years, and you got to work hard to get it. You got to prove a lot of stuff. A Medi-Cal package, by the time I'm done, is two inches thick. You don't just send in an application and ta-da, you get Medi-Cal for long-term care. You get general Medi-Cal for just sending in a piece of paper. You can walk into a Medi-Cal office and actually get a cash advance. Social Services Department office. A study by Medicaid crowds out 70%. Oh, here you go. Here it is. Now listen to this. This dragged down the quality for Medicaid recipients and private, because Medicaid is so easy to obtain, few of private insurers cover long-term care. That's right. They don't cover it anymore because they can't make any money, because they couldn't sell it to anybody because it was too expensive. Lots of policies didn't pay off, and companies went out of business because of very poor underwriting. Let's call this what it really is. They didn't go out of business because of Medi-Cal. They went out of business because Medi-Cal doesn't pay for assisted living or home care or boarding care or memory care. So on the face of it, this at best is misleading, in my opinion. Few private insurers cover long-term care. A study by Commonwealth Medi-Cal crowds out 70% of the market. No, it doesn't. There's only 80,000 people, 60,000 people in California on Medi-Cal in nursing homes. 60,000. How many seniors are there in California? 5, 6, 7, 8 million? Don't tell me it crowded out the business because they're trying to blame this on old people who are on Medicaid in nursing homes. Don't mark my words, folks. I know what's going on here. And yet this is in the Wall Street Journal, and people are going to read this and think it's true. The Affordable Care Act made things worse by creating a new category of childless, able-bodied Medi-Cal recipients who compete for the program's limited resources. I agree with that. The expansion of Medi-Cal under the ACA for anybody who could walk and talk and breathe, 35-year-olds who didn't have a job or didn't want to pay for insurance, they went on Medi-Cal. Undocumented workers can go on Medi-Cal. You don't have to have any proof of citizenship to be on Medi-Cal. I agree, but that's got nothing to do with long-term care. So they've changed subjects here in the article. Medicaid has attracted too many long-term care recipients since it enacted in 95. People could make unlimited asset transfers. No, you can't. No, you can't. No, you can't. They make it sound like everybody in the United States in a nursing home is on Medi-Cal, and I'm here to tell you they're not. In California, there's 110,000 to 120,000 people in nursing homes on any given day. About half of them are on Medi-Cal on any given day. A program intended for the poor. It was never intended for the poor. The name of the act that created this was the Medicare. Listen to the language. The Medicare Act of 1988. It's called MECA. The Medicare Catastrophic Recovery Act. Medicare Catastrophic Recovery Act of MECA of 1998. That's what created all of this. Notice it says the Medicare Catastrophic Coverage Act. The MCCA, MECA, it's called. Medicare Catastrophic. It was because it was designed to protect against the catastrophic costs of nursing homes. How much were nursing homes in 1988? Not much. And yet it was considered a catastrophe financially if you went into one. They were $1,500 a month, $1,200 a month. Now they're $8,000, $9,000, $10,000 a month. Is that a catastrophe or not? I don't know. You tell me. You tell me if that's a catastrophe or not. The article is so one-sided, folks. It was hard to read. And I shared this with a couple elder law attorneys, and they just, you know, they just shook their head and went, what did we expect out of the authors? It was never a program intended for the poor. Never, ever. General Medi-Cal is, not long-term care Medi-Cal. There's also a Medi-Cal that helps pay for Alzheimer's, a daycare. There's another breast cancer Medi-Cal. There's 30 programs under Medi-Cal. More than five decades of easy access to Medicaid-subsidized nursing homes. They're not subsidized. There's no Medi-Cal nursing homes. They're all privately owned. That makes it sound like Medi-Cal's running a chain of nursing homes. The path of least resistance. So again, they're blaming seniors and they're blaming people like me. They're blaming elder law attorneys. You can have home equity exempt up to $893,000 in some states. A program intended to even, I've never had somebody who's a client for Medi-Cal in a nursing home have $893,000 in equity in their house. I can't ever remember one. And then he says, thousands of elder law attorneys advertise their ability to impoverish affluent clients artificially. It's not artificially, it's following the law. Don't you love that? When you follow the law, somebody else who has a vested interest in helping the long-term care industry, nothing wrong with the long-term care industry, says that elder law attorneys are artificially qualifying them. No, they're following the law. They're following the law. I don't know what to tell you. They're following the law. So the issue is, here you are. If you listen to the first half hour, you're in the middle of all of this. You're older. You're getting older. You're in the middle of all of this. You're in the middle of a system that is broken, completely broken, which is the hospital to rehab to nursing home system. The fact that we no longer have private care physicians. They all are part of groups or organizations. The fact that insurance won't pay for things. The fact that you have this whole admission versus observation issue. And no, I'm not going into that. I've done lots of shows on it. On top of that, you have a whole industry of nonprofits and for-profits that have a vested interest in making sure that seniors get hammered. Now, if you want to sue a nursing home, you want to sue a doctor, you want to sue a hospital, then there are all kinds of organizations who get a commission for referring you to such a person, to an attorney or whoever it is. That, I can help you. You can get help with that. But there aren't many of us left. There's not an army of people waiting to do this. There are very few people who know how to do this. Very few people who know how to do this. Again, go read the article and then remember it in light of what I just said. And you tell me if there's not a bent in this article. Again, it's an opinion piece called Nursing Homes, Coronavirus, and Medicaid in the June 1st Wall Street Journal. When I read it, I saw the bias immediately, but I've been doing this for a long time and I know the parties involved. But they would have you believe that seniors... here's my average client, folks. Here's my average client, and here's what the writers of this article want you to do. I know because I'm on their newsletter list. My average client has $100,000 in the bank, a house worth $250,000 to $300,000, an income of less than $3,000 a month. That's my average client. My average client does not live in a $2 million house, does not have $20,000, $25,000 a month in income. That's not my average client. My average client has 2 to 3 kids who they love. That's my average client. Now, the authors of the article, what would they have you do if dad went into a nursing home? The authors of this article would have mom and dad spend their $100,000, get a reverse mortgage on the loan if they could do that, spend all of that money, and the only thing they'd be allowed to keep is some of their income. But that's what the authors of this article would have you do, because they don't believe in the community spouse resource allowance. They don't believe in codes that allow you to keep what you're allowed to keep. They don't believe in the regulations. They don't believe in any of that. They believe that every senior who winds up needing long-term care should impoverish themselves, or they should go out and buy long-term care insurance. But the reality is, and this is a sad reality, the reality is you can't get long-term care insurance anymore, or it's very, for a senior, almost impossible. Bad health, almost impossible. Dementia, forget it. And what the article really hurts or doesn't address is also the need for planning for other than nursing homes, the need for planning for assisted living, which nobody pays for except long-term care insurance, which is you can't get if you're 60 years, 70 years old or afford it. How's somebody that's going to buy a long-term care policy that has $3,000 a month in income, how are they going to pay for a husband and wife $6,000 to $8,000 a year in premiums for a comprehensive long-term care policy? I'm not opposed to the long-term care industry. I'm opposed to this article, which diminishes one thing while promoting another without ever really saying that or saying who the people work for and what they do. And also implying that seniors are to blame for having the audacity to go talk to someone like me who actually knows how to navigate the system and knows how to say no and knows what the rules are and knows what you can do and what you can't do. How dare seniors and their families go talk to me or an elder law attorney? That's what's ruined the long-term care insurance industry. No, didn't have anything to do with it. Government regulation has ruined the long-term care industry. Lack of proper underwriting has ruined the long-term care industry. All you have to do is look at PERS to find out about what happened from adverse underwriting and poor underwriting and other insurance companies that assumed really high interest rates. They were just poorly written and poorly managed products by insurance companies. And in many cases, still are, in my opinion. So you have a choice. I've laid out what's in front of seniors. I've laid it out from the time you wind up in the ambulance, which is where you now get primary care, to the time you wind up in a nursing home and or die of COVID because that's what people thought was a good idea, to people who are blaming seniors for Medi-Cal, to all the stuff I've laid out for you today that you're in the middle of, and you're in the middle of a political storm that you don't understand. Unless you follow it daily, like I do and others do. When I say daily, I mean daily. I mean every day I follow stuff. Every single day I follow stuff. Unless you're doing that, you're going to just get overwhelmed by this tsunami. Because that's what's going to happen. And you can't, on your own, protect yourself. How many of you remember watching the pictures of the tsunami in Japan? They were horrifying. They were terrible. But how many of you were struck by the fact that there was no defense? There was no defense. Once that thing came ashore, it was going where it wanted to go. This is not quite as bad as that because there's a defense, and the defense is being prepared. The defense is understanding what you're up against. The defense is understanding what people want to happen for political gain or economic gain. Why have hospitals all moved to the HMO system? Why is that? Well, because there's more profit in it. It's simple. I mean, it's not rocket science. To whose detriment? To the patients? Not for their benefit. For the benefit of insurance companies and the benefit of, you know, everybody else. How many of you, when you go into the doctor and he says you need a knee replacement, how many different forms, or you need a new shoulder, or you need to go to the hospital, or what? How many? What's the first thing that gets involved? Well, what's insurance going to pay for? When I go into my dermatologist to have, you know, little things fried off, because when I was growing up, we thought being in the sun with oil on was protection. The first thing they ask for is, has your insurance changed? No, it's still the same. Everything is about that. It's not about the patient anymore. It's about how do we pay, who's going to pay, how do we navigate the system, and then on top of that, we have people writing articles saying seniors are to blame for the fact that there's no long-term care companies around and for the fact that they want to take advantage of laws and regulations to which they're entitled to protect what they worked a lifetime for so they can leave a legacy to their children. The writer of this article does not believe that you should be able to leave anything to your children. In fact, he calls them greedy children in the article. Or maybe greedy heirs. Forget which. 800-999-8007. Assetsandaging.com. Make sure you get to my webinar. Hopefully soon I'll be able to start doing seminars again. But make sure you get to my webinar on Tuesday the 9th at 6 p.m. You can sign up on my website. If you go to assetsandaging.com, there's a link there, and you can sign up for the webinar on Tuesday. That's 2 days away. It's going to be about 45 minutes long. You're going to learn a ton. It's about specifically why this is a women's issue. You'll understand more when you listen. But make sure you join me on the free webinar on the 9th. 6 o'clock, go to assetsandaging.com. ASSETSANDAGING, assetsandaging.com, and sign up for the webinar this Tuesday at 6 o'clock. Or give me a call, 800-999-8007. Subscribe to my newsletter, it's free. Follow me on Facebook Live, it's free. Take advantage of all the information that's available to you right here on Assets and Aging, Affording the Future. I hope you have a great day. Go to my website, sign up for the webinar, be prepared, and be protected. Thanks so much for joining me. We'll see you next week.